welcome to Agent Blue, your comic book explosion podcast. I'm Michael Bonanno III.
And I'm George Green.
And today we're talking about Traveler Volume 2 and...
Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Again. Alright, let's get into it. Alright, so... since I have the actual volume 2 for the story, and not just a sequel, kind of the last story.
Hey, the last story was so good that they decided that they're going to do it again. Hence the name, He Does It Again.
Yeah, you're right. Well, this time for the Traveler, they got a third writer on this. It's not just the... Stan the Man Lee and Mark Waid. It's also the guy who wrote the Legion of Superheroes on this. And if you saw the episode where I talked about Legion Lost, you know that this is probably the best thing ever, in my opinion, this story. Alright, well, if you remember from last week, it ended with the Traveler, Cronus, being turned into Cronus from being Ron, which was his past. You remember that.
I remember.
You remember that.
I was here for that.
Yes.
Same exact spot.
Yep, exact same spot. So, at first I thought, I'm not sure if this is going to be a continuation or a loop like we talked about. And honestly, at the end, it could still very well become a loop. It could.
So it's not out of the question.
It's not completely. Out of the question that it's a loop.
Oh,
but so...
Don't tell me he loses his memory at the end of this. He does. Did I just figure this out?
He loses the memory of Julia, if you remember who Julia is.
Okay. So we're getting there. He's already starting to lose some memory.
Okay, so the story does the whole, like, previously on type thing. It opens up with the previously on type of thing. And the police station are trying to figure out who and where Julia, Dr. Colding, and Ron went. They believe that it's Ron's fault because everybody died. And he's just missing. Ron, who does remember everything, he remembers everything that happened, including the guy who was seemingly terrorizing everything, which just turned out to be his future. He remembers everything, and he goes to one of his friends and asks him for help. Explains the reason why he can't go home is because they're after him. It's a superhero story. Like, they're after me. They're just... I'm misunderstood. Also, because he's new to the superhero thing, it's also the same story with, the idea of, I don't know how to use my powers. And then, you know, superhero story. So, villains attack. And they're not really sure what happened, how to deal with it, but he somehow gains the ability, well, not gains it, but is capable of controlling his abilities enough to halt them in time, halt the monsters in time. Their identity as a race, as a species, is not explored or understood at all. But here, just take a look at these creatures. They're aliens, but they didn't say anything about aliens. Like,
kind of look like parademons.
They do kind of look like parademons. I mean, like, maybe two or three of them do. That guy looks like he's from Star Wars.
Does. Looks like Kit Fisto.
Yep. And so... he was able to stop them by using a gun that his friend made and didn't know what the gun did. And then turned out that wasn't the gun. It was completely different than that gun. It turns out it was a teleport device. He teleports his friend out of the way from the aliens who are going to try to kill him. And he teleports himself. Before you realize that it's a teleporter, you think he's about to kill himself because he puts it to his head. Like he's going to kill himself.
Oh, jeez.
And then he lands. And he's like, what's going on? And then all the creatures are like, I hope this guy lasts but longer than the last guy. And he's like, what? And he turned around and see his friend dead. He died on the floor. They killed him. They all start to attack him, and then he gets teleported. He tries to figure out what just happened, and then he gets shot again. And, well, he's either in, like, this is actually what he says. He doesn't know where he is, and this voice is like, you're either here, listening to my voice, or you're in space 10 minutes ago, having a vision of the future. After talking to the guy who's speaking to him, he gets sent back in time, and that was a hallucination of him 10 minutes, getting a hallucination of him being 10 minutes in the future. He teleports himself using that gun again, and a whole bunch of creatures are after him. It appears to be a prison, and that's exactly what it is. He finds it out after he gets sent there again, after being sent to the space that I just told you about, where it's you're either here 10 minutes from now, or you're in space hallucinating. But this time he's not hallucinating, and then he gets shot into a prison, which was where he was originally. He looks around and sees a whole bunch of confusing-looking people, and this is the funniest thing in the world. I was like, no, please don't tell me this is what you're doing. Every missing person from history that, like, mysteriously disappeared, like Amelia Earhart,
They're here. It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes, this is where the Bermuda Triangle puts you, in this prison. It's actually like this. She's like, you fly like a bird. You heal yourself. When are you from? And Cronus is like, I'm from the 21st century. I'm Ron. And I guess for now. And then she's like, well, I'm Amelia. And he's like, please don't say you're Amelia Earhart. And she thinks he's joking. He's like, what are you, like, don't make jokes. This is not a joking matter. You're in a prison. And he's like, fine. You never got to fly? We'll fly. Clearly she did get to fly, but we just don't know what happened. And then they bring her, not bring her, they bring him, the people who are all trapped in this prison, bring him to this lady, big green alien, Hulk-looking girl, who also kind of looks like an Avatar from the movie Avatar, but green. And she's in a prison of physical memories. That's how it said. That's how it said. It's a prison of physical memories because she's the only one who knows how to escape the actual prison. So he makes her a promise and they go through the whole, you know, let's get out of here, and they fight monsters. Etc.
And they fight monsters, etc.
Yeah, they fight
monsters. Abridged versions, they fight a couple monsters.
Hey, it's 12 minutes in. I'm gonna start skipping. They fight, they get out of the prison, and then Flashpoint Paradox. No, not Flashpoint Paradox. More like a Back to the Future type of situation. He tells his friend, he doesn't tell his friend that he's gonna die. He just gives him stuff and fools the people into thinking that he died in the beginning of the story. Like, he didn't actually die. He just squirted him with, like, ketchup. Right? Hold on. Let's see this.
Is this really squirted him with ketchup? Yeah.
Yep.
Squirted him with ketchup.
Squirt with ketchup. And then he tells him to, like, play dead. So that, you know, nothing happens. Takes his friend away from all of this so that he can, you know, fight Abaris. Because remember, he's here. He's here. That's the big villain of the entire series, the Abaris guy. But of course, he failed and didn't get his friend out. They are both in where Abaris wanted them to be. They fight, and then he decided, well, this was actually his plan all along. Abaris is going to use Cronus' memories of Julia to create Julia.
Oh, man. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. To create Julia. Of course, this part, like, actually got me funny. Remember?
Got you funny?
Yeah, it got me funny. Like, I laughed hysterically. Yes, I know I said it wrong. So, remember how I said that one character looked like he was from Star Wars?
Yeah.
Well, his friends get put in carbonite. Here's a picture. Carbonite.
Definitely carbonite.
It gets put in carbonite.
It's the same pose that Han Solo.
Exactly. Like, got dunked in it and everything. So, you know, Abaris is finally winning. He is getting to use all these memories to create Julia. And Julia lives. That's what Abaris says. With a big
ugly grin on his face.
Yes, big ugly grin on his face and giant orange gold letters. Julia lives. The lady from earlier, who was the big green hulking girl who I said looked like Avatar, her name is Davi. I'm gonna stop calling her a big green character. She comes in and fights and frees the traveler, Cronus. And then Julia fights back too. And then Davi says there's only one way to stop him, but you have to be willing to do this. And he's like, anything to stop, you know, the destruction of the world. He's a superhero. She's like, okay. And she traps Abaris in a memory prison. But it's not his own memories. It's all of Ron's memories of every romantic and sexual moment he ever had with Julia.
Well, that's crazy.
So he's just, like, stuck, like, in eternal torment because all he's seeing is how much Julia loved Ron and not him. He kisses Davi. Cronus kisses Davi. And his friend is like, you were really chummy with that alien girl or something. Yep. You sure got pretty chummy with that Davi. What about Julia? Now that was Julia. Not that was Julia. I mean, she didn't even know me. And then he's like, dude, what are you babbling about? He's like, Julia. He's like, who is Julia?
He lost his memories.
Yep, no more Julia. No more Julia. And that's how the story ended. No more Julia's
on a cliffhanger. It's even worse. Did you buy the third one yet?
No. I'm about to. You think I'm gonna go without buying the third one?
I figured before you even finished that one, you would have the third one ready to go and like halfway read through already.
I have Amazon Prime. I can get it.
Prime?
Yeah, Prime.
Prime.
I can get Traveler Volume 3 tomorrow.
Could you?
Mm-hmm.
Could you?
It'd actually get here on Thursday. Not Thursday, sorry, Tuesday.
Oh, man, I'm trying to figure out where the best place to start with this is and, like, how to explain it the best way. Because it's really, like, it's stupidly straightforward, and there's so many little things that if I talked about it all, it would take me all day.
That's why, like, look, this is how long I took up with the podcast. This is why...
It's normally about how long we talk for. We talk about 15 minutes each, and there's 2 minutes of filler in between. Yeah. That's about 34 minutes or so.
But I clearly would have gone longer if I didn't start, like, just skipping around.
Well, I guess I could just do the big things. You know, when there's, like, more than one panel of it.
And then if you forget anything I find funny, I can always, like, ask you the question.
That's a good idea.
We both read it.
That's a good idea. Oh, man. All right, well, we're going to continue, and we're going to do Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe again, because the first one was so good, he had to do it a second time. And it kind of opens up like the first one, how the story's, like, you know, already someone's dead, there's people around, you know, they're trying to figure out who did it, you know, and then you go back in time to tell the actual story, you know, oh, how did we get
36 hours later.
36 hours before, you know. So they did the same thing again. It's pretty much a rehash of the same story. They just changed
how,
the actual, why. They literally just changed how and why. Exactly. So it starts off with Deadpool and a team of superheroes on AIM Island fighting MODOK. And, you know, they're doing a good job. Deadpool's being normal Deadpool, all crazy and
goofy.
And then, I don't know, the comic book art just kind of switches over and everything's all different. You know, none of the characters' names are the same. MODOK's and Deadpool are really the only two people that remain the same or even close to the same. And
the art is kind of goofy.
It is kind of goofy. And they use the art in the comic book as, like, what Deadpool is seeing in his mind, because what he's seeing in his mind compared to what's actually going on is two completely different things. Because in the story, he is being mind controlled
to kill everyone. Kill every superhero. But of course that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. You know,
Going crazy and killing everybody. But he thinks he's fighting only villains in his head.
He thinks that. Deadpool kills all of the heroes that he's with and all of the villains that he's with, and leaves the place just a mess. And another team of superheroes comes in behind them to find out what happened. And it's Jessica Jones, Kate Bishop, The Punisher, Cable, Misty Knight, and Moon Knight. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. You know, they know it's Deadpool. They know something's wrong. But they don't know, you know, what's going on completely yet. They're still like a couple steps behind Deadpool. And so Deadpool ends up showing up to meet all of the, pretty much the gods of the Marvel Universe, or at least the current ones. And Deadpool, in his head, he's playing volleyball with all these gods, and they're all like half naked, you know, prancing around.
It's a superhuman swimsuit. It's a swimsuit edition. That was his joke, right? The swimsuit edition.
No, he was like, everybody, naked toga party.
Right.
He screams it out. And then
swimsuit edition is later.
He's holding a volleyball in this, what he thinks is a volleyball, but really it's Medusa's head, and he turns all the gods to stone.
And we got female Thor, too.
Female Thor. It's not male Thor.
It's not Odin's son.
No, not Odin's son. And so the team of heroes that are hunting Deadpool down are starting to put some clues together, you know, finding his trail of dead bodies. They believe Deadpool is killing these people, but they don't think Deadpool's doing it on purpose. You know, like, he's leaving small clues behind to, like, you know, it's like,
help me.
Yeah, he left a little note to them and says, help me. So he knows he's in trouble. And then it reveals who's the ones that are mind-controlling Deadpool right now, and it's the Red Skull, Abomination, Magneto, and Doctor Doom.
That's one thing that actually bothers me. Every single time a group of heroes or anybody is on this panel and they're visible, it just tells you who they are. And I'm like, yeah, we already know this is Misty Knight, this is Cable, this is Kate Bishop, this is Jessica Jones, and this is Moon Knight. You said that three panels ago.
Right, there's Venom and Spider-Man on the next panel. And
like,
it tells
we
you
know.
Who both are.
You know.
You gotta know at that point.
You told us three panels ago.
So our heroes that are chasing down Deadpool end up coming across a very bullet-riddled body, surrounded by shell casings and air horns. And Cable asks if anybody knows him. And they're like, he's built like Captain America, if Captain America like nachos and beer, because he looks a little chunky. And then Moon Knight identifies him as Eddie Brock, or other knows him as Venom, which was the purpose of the air horns.
Yeah.
And it looks like Deadpool put on the Venom symbiote and is now attacking Spider-Man. and he's about to eat him, and then he kicks into his dream state, I guess we'll call it, his catatonic state, where he is doing something that he's not actually doing, being crazy, and he's eating a pie, like a fruit pie eating contest for charity, and it's Deadpool and Spider-Man against Blob.
And then Deadpool is in his black suit Deadpool.
And then Deadpool eats Spider-Man, eats his head.
We're back in the real world now.
And then he, you know, tells the Venom symbiote to leave him. And he's just standing there over Spider-Man's dead body.
Like, we did it! We beat the Blob! Because he thinks he's still in that world.
Then he kills... this one's a little bit more... Jessica Drew, or Spider-Woman, and the Porcupine, in front of their child. Like, right in front of their kid. He left the kid alone, I think, you know, to...
That kid's gonna grow up to be Batman.
My parents were murdered by a superhero. He was the Deadpool. He travels to the future and kills Spider-Man 2099, which confuses the life out of me.
No, Spider-Man 2099 is actually stuck in the current day Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So never mind. So then you got Jessica Jones and Kate Bishop go to warn Miles Morales to maybe go into hiding, just like Captain America had recommended to all the superheroes, because there's a murderer on the loose. And as soon as they tell him that, Deadpool shows up on a glider like the Green Goblin, but with Spider-Man suit on him, and drops a bunch of bombs and knocks out Kate Bishop. Jessica Jones flies her away, and Miles Morales gets all sorts of torn up.
And this mindset is the funniest thing in the
this
world.
This one is. It
Deadpool,
is
Spider-Man,
Spider-Pool. And then they're fighting Spider-Man, but with six arms. And he cuts his head off, but it's actually Miles Morales that he cuts the head off.
If you've played the Amazing Spider-Man game, I don't believe it was any video game. If you saw the Spider-Man animated series from the 80s and 90s, it's that Spider-Man when he grew six arms.
Yeah.
Spider Carnage.
Earlier in the panels, Moon Knight had mentioned he has a spy. He's got people working on stuff right now. And it's revealed that Gwenpool is spying on Dr. Doom, Red Skull, the Abomination, and all of them, getting this information for Moon Knight that, you know, these people are the ones that are controlling Deadpool right now. She ends up snapping a pic of them, sending it to Moon Knight, and then, you know, she goes ghost. They don't know what happened to her. And Moon Knight's talking to the Punisher, and they find the Guardians of the Galaxy dead. And the Punisher finds a gun on the ground, and he tells Moon Knight that he's gonna kill Deadpool with this gun that he had made. So after killing some X-Men,
pretty sure that's all the X-Men.
And then he makes a mention that there's claw marks in some of these X-Men, and that he didn't do it. And he goes, "Sheesh, Logan, not you too." But you don't see Logan, and there's no other extra mention of it. But in the next panel, there is a scene where Cable and Misty Knight show up to one of Deadpool's and Cable's secret hideouts, and there's a bear on the floor, but it looks to be like the Beast's
hide.
It's
Beast's hide from the first one.
Like how he wore it when he was fighting Wolverine.
Now it's just a throw rug.
They find it in the basement that Deadpool has killed all his mercs for money, except for Gorilla Man. He just left him to like bleed out and suffer, because if you kill Gorilla Man, you become Gorilla Man, and then you're immortal. And I don't think Deadpool wanted to be Gorilla Man, so that's why he was left alive.
He's already immortal.
But then
he'd just be a giant
Moon Knight
gorilla.
And the Punisher catch up to Deadpool. And they get into a fight, and Moon Knight's really trying to not kill Deadpool. He's really blocking the Punisher's shots. And
does Deadpool think he's in a volleyball game?
He thinks he's playing basketball with them.
Oh, basketball.
And they're being really mean to him. And he's like, "I don't like how you guys are being." But this is obviously in his head. And so the gun that the Punisher had picked up during his hunt for Deadpool when he found the Guardians of the Galaxy was sabotaged, and it ended up teleporting the Punisher away. And then Moon Knight at this point is mad, and he's really trying to kill Deadpool, but Deadpool gets the upper hand
and stabs him straight
in the stomach. And
two times
in at the same time. Moon Knight's last like breaths, he's telling Jessica Jones to, you know, not fight him alone. He knows where he's going. You know, bring some heavy hitters with you. You know, he knows what's going to happen next. And in another hallucination for Deadpool, he thinks he's with the Night Nurse, Hank Pym, Mr. Fantastic, and Tony Stark, but he's really with Arnim Zola and the Mad Thinker, and they're doing something to him that's not very good. And this is where everybody shows up. I'm talking Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Vision, Black Panther, Jessica Jones.
The Totally Awesome Hulk.
Kate Bishop, Captain America, and Shang-Chi are all here. And they're looking for Deadpool, who has been fused with Ultron.
No.
Yeah, he's been fused with Ultron. And Deadpool is killing everybody that shows up.
The style of art, it switched to in his mind.
Yeah.
It's anime now. Not anime, sorry, manga.
It's manga style, yeah. Ends up pretty much killing
everybody.
Yep. And then takes all the armor off and walks away. You find out that Gwenpool is still alive and Deadpool is still on his killing spree, just killing everybody. He just killed Miss Marvel, Moon Girl, and the Devil Dinosaur, and the Power Pack, which I'm pretty sure some of them were kids, and I think they were all kids.
He thought they were playing tag. Not tag, sorry, hide and go seek.
So then Gwenpool finds Spider-Man and she attacks him. They fight for quite a while, and she ends up dying by Deadpool because he kills her too. And she tells him that he's being controlled and the villains are the ones that are doing it. So Deadpool decides to go and take out every single Reaver, and he just starts executing villains. He kills Cletus Kasady. He kills the Green Goblin. I mean, just Arnim Zola, he kills Batroc the Leaper, Bullseye, they're all dead. Magneto sneaks up on him, doesn't kill him.
He let him live because he deserves to live with the pain.
And then finally he goes for the Red Skull, who is being guarded by Taskmaster and Crossbones. But Taskmaster doesn't want to fight Deadpool, so Red Skull kills him, and Deadpool makes pretty quick work of Crossbones. And then
chops off Red Skull's head
and is like, I'm glad, you know, Red Skull's like, the age of heroes is over, and Deadpool's like, you know, good that there's no heroes left, because what I'm going to be doing next is no hero business, and he's pretty much just going to be killing all the villains. And that's how the comic book ends. That's it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Dunskies, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Again.
Yeah, that book... that book actually, like... With the colorful design of, like, what was in his head, it was very enjoyable reading that book.
It was definitely an enjoyable book to read. Definitely recommend it, especially if you read the first one and liked it. It's under your Jesus episode.
Yep. Well, all right, The Traveler. So, I'm just going to state that if you read the first book because you listened to the podcast, or you read the first book just because you read the first book, you should read the second book.
Because it's good.
It's good.
Good for you.
It's good, and it has all the amazing art, all this amazing art inside, right?
It's very colorful. It's definitely a hoot to just look at.
Yeah. Hasn't even finished the book.
It's a hoot to look at.
George over here hasn't finished the first book. Got all these amazing writers. Stan Lee, Mark Waid, Tom Pyre. Anyways. So. Now, when I saw this story, when I started reading it, I really... you know, thought of the idea of fighting through the struggle of knowing what God's plan is and not giving up no matter what. So let's take a look at one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, if you just take it into that context, you might think, oh, well, that means I can do literally anything, right? That, like, right. I can move a mountain, I can fly if I really wanted to. But no, the verse actually started with, it's not verse 13, it's verse 12, but it starts with, for I know what it's like to live with plenty, and I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it is to be hungry but have plenty, and all this. And then it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, because even through the struggle, God is there with me. And it's very prominent in the story, because as we said last week, this book is clearly about a plan that will be followed through, and it really isn't going to change no matter how much you want it to. I mean, if you looked at last week's book with what said what happened originally compared to what happened now in this reality after he switched everything, it seems more like it's pretty much the same, minus the fact that he forgot who Julia was in this version. But no matter, even though at the end he forgot who Julia was, throughout the story, he never stopped fighting for Julia. Even when he was imprisoned, he fought to get Julia back. The only time he stopped was when he knew it was for the greater good that he gave it up. It may have prompted him to start this battle, but it wasn't the end goal. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope, and for what assurance about what we do not see. Well, what I just say about Julia, like, he hoped, he knew, but he didn't see that Julia was still alive. Well, Cronus told the original Cronus, himself from the other reality, dang, time travel's hard. he gave him his word that he gave himself his word that Julia was alive, and that hope had him continue. It never stopped. He just kept moving forward, and that's really what you see throughout the story. This idea that even though it's difficult, though it's tough, this hope and strength based on the plan and the hope for what you were told and what is will help you get through. In the case of the real world, you know, you have that faith and hope in God, and you will continue forward and be the best you can possibly be, because that's what God has planned for you. In the case of this book, it's just fighting a villain. But I mean, that's the story of every life. You're always fighting a villain. Yeah. Your bills, your landlord, your brother, your sister. You're always fighting a villain.
A villain.
Satan. You're always fighting a villain. And so that's really what this book put into my head, put into my heart, and the verses that it reminded me of. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Next week podcast,
Black Panther.
We're doing Black Panther movie review.
Excited. I have not really watched any trailers because I kind of want to be surprised.
I know who's going to be in it.
And like I've seen like a couple of them, but like I'm trying not to like analyze them. I'm not looking at anything specific. I don't want to look at any spoilers, any Easter eggs in the trailers. I just want to be surprised. I'll look that all up after.
Well, what about Venom movie coming out this year too?
I watched the trailer. Wasn't really overly fond of it, but obviously the first trailer's not going to always be the best, you know what I mean?
It confused me. I'm like, how are you going to do this story without
Venom Spider-Man? Venom trailer without Venom, and movie without Spider-Man. Yeah, it's going to be a bit weird. I feel like Sony's just trying to do whatever they can to take Spider-Man back from Marvel, and if the Venom movie does good, it might possibly open the floodgates again for him.
Well, what is being said is going to happen is they're currently saying that it's not in the MCU, but Marvel has final say if it's good. So if it's good, it's going to be part of the MCU, and then we'll get Tom Holland in that universe, et cetera, et cetera.
Then it could be good.
Yeah. But until then, we won't know. Next week is Black Panther.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler review. Do not listen to this podcast next week until you watch Black Panther, because
we give you the whole weekend.
Yeah. We watch it Thursday. We come out on Monday with the story.
So you got the weekend to watch it.
Yes. If you like what we do here, you can listen to this podcast on mb-3d.com. Comment, like, subscribe, and share. If you would like to help us continue growing, you can always go to patreon.com/mb3 and donate even $1 a month. That's like 25 cents per episode. And even $1 helps us get better and more time dedicated to this, because we're always running around figuring out what we're going to do, and then it always works.
It always works out. We always get it to work out, but
With your help and support, we can make it even better. And we really want to be able to do that for you guys, because without you guys, there would be no podcast. We would just be two guys sitting in a house talking about comics.
That's pretty much it. That's it.
Which we did before this, and we will be doing long after. But without you guys, it wouldn't be this fun. So, thank you.
Yeah. So, from us here at Agent Blue, peace.
Peace.